Good morning. This is John DeWhitis over in New York City today, and we're going to continue our discussions about EFT with EFT Master Gwyneth Moss of the UK. We're continuing to discuss various things today about Gwyneth's perspective, which is very experienced, and she has, of course, mastered its use and is willing to let all of us share in that knowledge, and that's what I love so much about it. So today's conversation is going to center around the unique tenet of EFT, or at least I feel it is. It's the final phase of the session wherein we test our progress and results with our clients. And as Gwyneth Moss will point out to us so aptly, the time to actually set up the test is actually in the beginning of the session. And so I'm looking forward to finding out more and talking about that with Gwyneth. So good morning, Gwyneth. Are you there?
Hello, John Dee. Yes, good afternoon from here.
Ah, yes. Listen, your site, which, by the way, is extraordinarily rich in resources and information about EFT, actually has an excellent article on this subject already up in the resources section. I'm going to give our listeners the address just in case they haven't had a chance to see that. It's www.emotional-health.co.uk/documents/test.
Hang on. Rather than give them all the forward slashes, there's probably an easier way to find it.
Great.
So if they go to the emotional-health.co.uk,
mm-hmm.
and then they will find on the navigation bar the articles page. Click on the articles page. Now, on the articles page, there are two things on what we're going to talk about today, which is my approach to testing. There is an article, a written article, and then there is the slides of a presentation, and you could look at both of them. You know, some people prefer to read longer articles, others might prefer to have something they can flick through like a presentation more quickly. They're both on that page, and all my conversations, or our conversations between John Dee and I, are on that page too.
Excellent. Well, thank you for making that more simple. I do appreciate it, and I actually didn't know about the presentation one. I've only read several times the article, so that's great to know for all of us who teach others, too. So herein are the words of the author herself. We are blessed to be able to walk through this conversationally with you, Gwyneth. Let's start at the very beginning, as they say, and how do you set up the end game before the game even begins?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to talk about why the brilliant thing of what testing is in EFT and how it really makes EFT different. Because with most ways of helping people, whether it's counselling, hypnotherapy, or body work, you kind of cross your fingers and hope they're going to come back different next week.
Mm, so true.
Yeah?
Yes.
And whereas with EFT, we can test before, we can test whilst the two of you are still together. And so that brings confidence to both. It brings confidence to the person being helped that something is actually going to change in the real world.
And can I just add this too, Gwyneth? What you're saying to me, in my experience with my clients, is you immediately show that client what you meant about empowering them right away. You're giving this back to them in such a tangible way.
Yeah. So they leave with confidence that it's not, because it doesn't really matter what changes in the therapy room. It's what matters is what changes out there in the real world. It doesn't really matter if someone tells their story differently or feels differently about their story. What matters is when they get out there that they behave differently, speak differently, act differently, do something that they weren't able to do before, or don't do something that they did do before.
Right, it changes their experience of the world, right?
Yeah, it changes their behavior in the world, what they do. You know, that's the process of life. What we do, how we act, what we say, and that's what it's all about. There's a wonderful quote from Jay Haley, one of the great fathers of somatic therapy, he said therapy isn't a solution, it's a problem. Yeah. I mean, if you're spending time talking to a therapist, that's a problem.
Yes.
Actually, so, you know, it's not about what happens in the therapy room or between two people chatting together. The important thing is what happens when the person gets out there, when they get into the real situation, that they're different. They don't react, they respond.
Absolutely.
Yeah? I think that's, you know, one thing that EFT does, it changes reacting into responding.
Responding
is about choice.
Exactly. And to me, that's the real evolutionary human experience. I mean, you're constantly changing in a way that causes you to be master of your ship.
Yeah. Now, the testing, I think, if, you know, this comes back to Gary Craig. Gary's early education, his college education, was as an engineer. Now, engineers don't really mind, they're not too bothered about how things work. What engineers care about is, does it work? Does it work, and does it work is it reliable? You know, if you build a bridge, you're not terribly interested in the molecular structure of the stone or the metal or whatever. What you're concerned about is, does that bridge hold up, and does that bridge reliably hold up? That's what engineers want to know. Does it work? Can I trust it? So engineers are very, very fond of testing. They test things and test things and test things because they want confidence. You know, the engineer wants to have confidence in the bridge, and he wants the people crossing the bridge to have confidence.
Sure. Absolutely.
And engineers of all sorts, you know, whether they're software engineers or whatever sorts of engineers, they test. And that brings EFT into the realm of emotional engineering.
Wow, I love the way you said that.
Yeah. Now, my whole thing about, I testing isn't just, so how do you feel now? Mm-hmm. I have a much more thorough approach. And as you said, we start the, end at the beginning.
Yes.
However we are chatting with someone, whether it's in a therapeutic situation, whether it's a friend or family member, whether it's someone you met on the train, you know, whatever it is, whoever you're chatting with, you've got to have a starting point. They're going to say, you know, this is a problem. They're going to say, I can't get on a plane, or I lose my temper every time I hear my sister's voice, or I can't sleep, or I have this pain, or they're going to start with something, aren't they?
Yes.
Right. What you need to do as a practitioner is remember that. Just stick that in your little sort of mental parking place. Then you go and tap. You know, you go and tap with all the sort of skill you have, whatever sort of ways of approaching techniques you might be. Sorry, that was a gulp of tea. you tap with everything you know, you find core issues, you clear them, and all of that. Now, as you're going along, you're measuring. You're measuring by asking for a number, or if it's a physical symptom, you might be looking at a movement or something. So you're measuring, and you keep coming back for the measurement. That's sort of testing as you're going along.
Right.
Checks that things are changing.
Then
there comes a point where something, you know, you feel like it's like you've got all the aspects. You're testing each aspect as you go, and you feel like you've kind of uncovered all the aspects. So we go back to the beginning. That's what I mean by end at the beginning. So if the person says, you know, what they started with is I can't get on a plane, then you have them think about getting on a plane.
Right.
If the person had a pain, you go and you really search through, is there any of that pain left? Is there any movement that brings back the pain? So you go back to where you started. That's the first thing. So we tap, we test by going back to where we started, and we see what's different. But then I add a couple of extra stages. We've gone back to where we started, but we now want to take it out. We want to take the results out into the real world.
Take it out for a ride or a spin, right?
Take it out for a ride, yeah. So the first way to take it out for a ride is in the imagination.
Right.
Because just because someone can do something in their imagination doesn't necessarily mean they can do it in reality. But if they can't do it in their imagination, it sure means they can't do it in reality. So we want to test, can they do it in their imagination? So having them think about, really, you know, sort of thoroughly, vividly think about the being in the situation, whether it's meeting your sister, getting on a plane, going back to the office, whatever the context of the problem was.
Right.
And really checking thoroughly with thorough, vivid imagination. So if it was, we start out kind of very gently. So say we were working with public speaking fear, and we've tapped for every aspect of that, for people looking at me, and we go back to the beginning. The person said, you know, I have to make a presentation in a particular hotel, and last time I was in that hotel, I lost my words and I couldn't speak and it was awful. So we start by having them go back to the beginning, just thinking about that particular hotel. And we see if that throws up any more aspects. Because there's like two things we're doing with testing. One is we're aiming for confidence in the person that they can do it. But the other thing is, as a practitioner, we're looking to check that we've done a thorough job. Is there anything left of this problem? Is there anything that could bring this problem back?
Right.
So we go back to the beginning, and then we go into the future. We go to them being at the hotel, preparing for the presentation, and we want to rehearse in absolute detail. And first we can rehearse things going pretty straightforwardly. Then let's throw in some obstacles. Let's throw in, so in the case of public speaking, let's throw in someone asking a really difficult question.
Right.
Or a real smart aleck in the audience who's, you know, trying to be clever. Or their laptop seizing up. I on my level 3 course this weekend with someone who's a professional pianist. And when he first came on level 1 a couple of years ago, he had terrible stage fright, terrible anxiety. His stomach would knot up as he walked to the piano. Well, he's sailed through all of that with EFT, and he told me a story of just how thoroughly things had changed for him. He was accompanying someone, a singer, soloist. He was in an auditorium in front of several hundred people, and he was playing an electric piano. And as he sat down and put his hands on the keys, no sound came out. There was no power to the piano. And he said previously he would have just dissolved into a pool of liquid. He would have, And they said this. He said, actually, he said, I sat there. Nothing happened. I kind of made a smile to the audience. Everybody kind of laughed, and they were laughing with me. And then somebody went to get a technician, and eventually the piano got power. And while they were waiting, the singer did a little a cappella solo. And he said he was just perfectly relaxed when all, you know, that's probably the worst thing that could happen.
Sure, absolutely. And I was going to ask about that worst thing. Have you usually uncovered their worst fear about this as you're going, or do you find that sometimes it takes until then before they say, oh, this is really my worst fear about this happening later, as you're beginning to ask them to take that imaginary journey?
The reality, the rehearsal test. So first of all, we test the aspects of rehearsal. Then we do this rehearsal test. And we can play around a bit with the rehearsal, because if someone has anxiety, anxiety is an abuse of the imagination. They are able to imagine the worst thing.
Yeah.
And so, or they may be kind of getting a body response to the worst thing without it really falling into consciousness. And this rehearsal can bring that out. But also, by the time we get to the rehearsal, because the tapping has calmed them down so much, they are able to rationally balance the likelihood of the rehearsal of the worst thing.
Right.
I mean, for a pianist to get on the stage and there be no power to the piano, what's the likelihood of that happening? It's very, very rare. So when a person, before we do the tapping, when they're in the anxious state, to them the most unlikely thing is completely likely.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
Whereas when we've done a lot of tapping, we've cleared a lot of the aspects, they're able to say, yes, that could happen, it's unlikely to happen, and if it does happen, I'll handle it. Just like this guy handled it, and eventually, you know, it's okay, the piano got power, and everything was okay. In the rehearsal test, in the safety of the imagination, we can throw in some obstacles.
Sure.
But throw in the obstacles after they've had a confident rehearsal of everything going well. Then, you see, when they've done the rehearsal, then it's time to look at what I call the reality test. Because it's only in the real world, it's like when a claustrophobic gets into the elevator and goes up, a few floors, then they really know that the change has happened.
Yeah.
So what I do when we've done the rehearsal, I used to try and think of reality tests to give a person their homework. And then I realized, why am I bothering to do this? Why don't I just ask them?
Yes.
Yeah. I love to just make things as simple as possible. So now I say, so how are you going to test this in the real world? When are you going to know for sure that this issue really has shifted? And I remember the first time I said that to someone, rather than, I used to try and be the expert and try and think of, now here's your test, you need to go and do this test. This was a woman who got, terribly hurt, really angry, teeth gritting angry whenever she heard her sister's voice. And I said to her, how are you going to test this? And she thought a moment and she said, oh, I know, she'll be at work now, so I'm going to phone her home number, and I'll listen to the voice on the answer machine, because usually I only need to hear that answer machine voice and my teeth are on edge.
Wasn't that brilliant?
So I just handed her the phone and she did it there and then. But what was even better is she surpassed her reality test. She didn't just listen to her sister's voice. She left a message.
Wow.
And a really nice, friendly message.
Oh, this is your former teeth grading sister, and I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's brilliant, brilliant, and you're absolutely right. Who knows better than them?
Yeah, who knows better than them? This is what I, where I'm always coming from. Every person is the expert on themselves. Who knows better than them? So ask them, say, how are you going to test this? How are you going to test this in reality? Or how are you going to know say, for example, someone has been having a really tough time getting over a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, how are you going to test this? And they might say, I'm going to go to the bar where I met him. I've never been able to go to that bar, so I'm going to go to that bar and have a drink. Yeah? And one woman I said to another, a woman who had been in she'd been in a very violent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd come through it, she'd got him out of the house, and we'd worked with various incidents of where she'd been attacked in her own home. And I said, how are you going to really know when you're really through this? How are you going to test this? She said, I'm going to have a bath. And I said, yeah, what? You're going to have a bath?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Explain that, please.
Because
yeah.
I haven't been able to have a bath for years because I was always terrified that he might drown me.
Ugh.
And so she did it. So the first thing is we ask them what their reality test is.
Yes.
Then we do a bit more rehearsal. I say, now what would it be like to think about doing that reality test?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if there's any more aspects, they'll be thrown up there. Yeah.
Got it. Absolutely.
So, for example, the woman who said, well, I'm going to go to the bar where I met him, thinking about doing the reality test screw up, what if he walks in?
Yeah.
So we did some tapping on that. And then she thought about doing the reality test, and she said, well, I'll handle it. Because that's always the antidote. I'll handle it.
Right.
If it happens, I'll handle it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you can't handle it when it's not happening. You can only handle it when it does happen.
Yes.
So once they can rehearse the reality test, the next thing I ask is, so when are you going to do it?
Right, so that you can avoid their procrastinating if they fall into that trap again.
Yeah, you know, I say, are you going to do it today? Are you going to do it tomorrow? Are you going to do it this week? Are you going to do it next week? Yeah?
Right.
Like, yesterday I was teaching on the level 3 about forgiveness. We've got, I have this new way I have of working with our guilt, and this guy had worked through this, and so I said, you know, what would it be like to consider forgiving yourself? And he said, well, I could consider it. So I said, could you consider forgiving yourself before lunch or after lunch?
That's lovely.
And so he said he'd consider forgiving himself after lunch.
I love it.
So we have, you know, we then want to get a part, when, once they're confident that they can do the reality test, we then want to get a timetable for the reality test. Yeah? So by this time, because we've been doing all the testing as we've been going through the aspects, we've done the return, the end at the beginning test, we've done the rehearsal going into the future test, then we've found a reality test, then we've rehearsed the reality test, then we've found a timetable for the reality test. By the time they get to the reality test, if there are any other aspects, it was really surprising. We should have found and cleared them all by now.
And it will seem obviously old hat to them, because they've been through this, they've been through that, they've done that, been there.
They'll have a lot of confidence.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll have a lot of confidence that it's okay. The woman who had the bath, by that she said she just really relaxed and enjoyed it.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's very liberating for us to hear, of course, but just to consider the possibility of that happening any other way, and with this amount of rapidity is hard for me to imagine. And I'm just throwing in a plug there that if you in the UK have, for whatever reason, been able to adopt this more broadly than we have yet, and when you hear these kinds of things and realize what percentage of this that you can clear and test and give that person that part of their life back, you just realize it's incredibly different than anything else out there, and this testing is what proves it. And I don't know if your neck of the woods is as obsessed with this as ours, but ours is constantly saying, where is the evidence, where is the testing, where is the this, where is the that, when in fact they use methods that they don't have that testing on per se, or the test numbers are very low in percentage that they do have. So it's completely illogical that we're suffering like this. But when I talk to you, Gwyneth, it gives me great hope that all of us over here can follow your lead and, you know, take this testing to rigorous land, if you will, and really feel sure and be able to say to the doubters and the naysayers, well, you know, yes, we do. We test every single one. Do you?
I think we have, you know, it's going to be wonderful when EFT does get into mainstream use, because I think we need to spend our time outside the Citadel. We need to spend our time in those green hills outside the city walls, the green hills far away, because we need to get our house in order. We really need to understand what we're doing with EFT. We really need to understand not only how to build skill, but how to teach others to build skill as well.
Yes.
And so we need time outside, because once things get into the mainstream, they tend to get very proceduralized.
Yes, it's true. It's just system theory, right? I mean, I don't have that Oxford degree, but it seems to me I do remember something about systems theory just being a de facto version of once it gets codified, it changes in ways that's very hard to undo.
Yeah, so we need to time to really understand the EFT practitioners and trainers to really, really get, you know, the exquisite skill with our tools. Really, really good at it. And we, you know, we have many people who are really getting good at it, and we need more of them, and they need to get good at it with the freedom and flexibility of being outside the more sort of structured, proceduralized environment. And EFT will get there. It's absolutely inevitable. Acceptance is inevitable. Mm-hmm. This thing works.
Yes.
And I don't know, you know, I don't know why we are more advanced with it over here. I think it's possibly the weather. You know, we live in a small, grey, very crowded island.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the great long distances that you have in your big continent. And also, we don't have the glorious weather, so we don't mind spending our weekends indoors going to training courses.
Well, I'm sure that we do have our training course junkies here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just speaking for myself, during at least 4 or 5 months of the year, we do live on a tiny, gray, crowded island. And it doesn't seem to have made a difference here, but... I do find more and more pockets of it every day, and I just didn't need to get off on that. Just the fact that we can offer something with this remarkable tool, not only to ourselves and curing us, getting ourselves effectively out of the way and balanced, but also we can hand it to somebody else. We can, in fact, make a better world all around us with everyone we touch with this. And I deeply, deeply believe that to my core.
Mm.
I wanted to... just remind everyone the easy way to remember this, the TTRR, and I think that's just a great way to be able to put it on little cards that we can set on our desk as a reminder to us, the TTRR being Tapping Test Rehearsed Reality. Would you like to sum that up on a card for us? That way everybody listening to this now and forever can go, oh, that's it. And they'll have it right in front of them after they've had this delightful conversation with us.
Well, I would suggest that everybody read the slides of that presentation that's on my website,
mm-hmm.
and then they can make their own little card, because if they make it themselves, it'll have their own, they'll remember it more. It'll be their own way of remembering it.
Right, as always. Perfect. That's a great idea.
As always.
Yes.
Ask someone to do it themselves. You know, ask them what the problem is. Ask them how they're going to test it. Use their exact words.
Yep.
EFT is a very cooperative way of working. It's, to me, the one person is managing the content. The person we often call the client is managing the content. They know about the problem, about the experience, about themselves, about their responses. They manage the content. The other person, the one we often call the helper or therapist, is managing the process.
Yeah.
Process of uncovering aspects, working through aspects, testing. Yeah. So it's kind of eliciting, tapping, testing. Eliciting, tapping, testing.
Okay. And I don't know. I don't know how to keep from repeating myself there. I absolutely adore this whole process, and I really do love the way that you summed it up in this article, as they say. So I encourage everybody to not only go read it, download it.
Yeah.
Download it today.
Yeah.
And thank you very much always for putting up such a healthy website that's just chock full of free, valuable, invaluable resources that all of us can use. It's a testament to being real. In my book, it's not only the best of humanity, but it's also harkening back to what I perceive as Gary's always open heart, open hand, and you're a great shining example of that. Question, I think.
That's how EFT started, isn't it? That's how EFT started, with a newsletter and a website that was just full of helpful, useful stuff. It's about each of us learning and then sharing with everyone else. And that spirit's still there in EFT.
I agree. And it's the one that I follow and the one that keeps me going even when things get ridiculous. I go, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
But still, this is the one that has the heart. The great
mm-hmm.
spirit and the heart.
Okay.
Ah, what such a delight always to talk to you. My best to you. And I look
all
forward
right.
to speaking with you again soon. So stand by.
You too, Jandy.
Keep tapping. Bye-bye.
All right. Keep tapping. Bye.